This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Crosby, the kick from 38 for the lead, for the pack.
Alex Brown, you see him number 96 off the ball. Look at all the hands up in the air.
There's some clowns on this team, man. There's some clowns, and I don't like it. Yeah. Clowns, like anything that goes good, they want to say, oh, I did it. It's me.
Yeah, you guys know Alex Brown yet?
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Let's live in those times. I always love Alex Brown's insight. He does a great job on the Football After Show, NBC Sports Chicago. And that game was such a dumpster fire last night, we felt like we had to call him. So he'll join us right now on the Albemonte Nissan Hotline, Albemonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Alex, man, thanks for the time. You're on with Danny, Spiegs, and Layla here on The Score. How's it going, man?
All right. How y'all doing?
Good, Alex. Well, we're nice doing better than the Bears last night.
Yeah.
You know, when there's such a collective failure like that, like the defense isn't proud of how they played, the offense isn't proud, the coaching staff isn't proud, like what's the feeling for a team like after a game like that?
Oh, man. I mean, just looking at the game, I mean, if you played long enough, you've been in those games where you just kind of get dominated in every aspect of the game, and the other teams just seem to do whatever they wanted. Now, nobody wants to think that that's who they are when you get dominated like that. So you want to just get through this game. I mean, you got to watch it. You got to watch it so you can learn from it. But you want to get through it as fast as you can so you can move on and get that taste out of your mouth. So get into the next game. So, and that's what I believe they want to do. Now, they need to fix some stuff, though. There's a lot to be fixed. And I don't know. They scored 3 points on offense and fix it to where? Because when they were scoring 18 to 20 points, they were talking about we need to fix the offense. So how much fixing needs to be done is the question.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to fix, Alex. That's for sure, man. Just before the break, we listened to Matt Nagy today say that he's not afraid to give up the play calling if they think that's best, but they're not there yet. And we're trying to figure out whether he really means that or not. Have you ever had a head coach who stepped away from some responsibility? And if you're on that team and you see that Matt Nagy steps away from some offensive responsibilities, does that decay his leadership, or is it possible to look at that if you're a player and say, oh, you know what? He's even looking at himself. He's doing the right thing. He's trying to fix whatever he can fix as well as the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm with you now on the latter one, because I believe as a player, and I'm not trying to speak for the current players, but for me, how I would see it is, well, coach is doing everything he can to help this team. He sees that we need some changes, and it's not just us. So there's some changes that needs to be made with play calling. There's some changes that need to be made. If you keep running the same guys out there and you're hoping for a different result, that's a problem, and that's a coaching problem. So you got to get the right guys in there that's going to do the job. And if you don't have the right guys running the, as far as defense, if you're not – they're not in the right place or where they're supposed to be in the gaps, then you got to get somebody in there that can do it. Hell, I can get anybody that do it wrong. So, but you got to get the guys that's going to do it right on a consistent basis. So, and that's for the offense. You got to get guys that's going to be in there. And if you get a one-on-one block now, last night was a little different because nobody really wants to be on an island with Aaron Donald. So, I mean, nobody really wants that. So when coach puts you in that situation, I think the coach is doing a disservice to the player in that aspect, because I get it, do your job. But coach, he is better than me. He's just better, period. Now, if you put me out here on this island and we go a 5-7-step drop, Nick Foles is probably going to get hit, or whoever the quarterback in there is going to get hit, because I can't block this guy for 4 seconds. I can't do it. So, and that's a physical thing, and I think the coaches, they have to see that when they're leading up to this ball game. You're not – last year, I think it was, you had McDaniel, who did a really good job against Aaron Donald, but you're not going to have that every single year. So, and this guy's a monster. So putting him out there on an island, I don't think you do him any favors, but you got to come in with a game plan. And that was the most disappointing thing for me watching this game. It didn't seem like, if you win this game, you're number one in the NFC. You're already number one. You're already number one in your division. You're number one in the NFC. You win this ball game. And I didn't see the urgency that I would have liked to see in a game like this. What they have to understand is that I think they do, but I want to see it on the field. As you keep winning, I don't care how you win, but as you keep winning, the games just get bigger and more important as you keep going along. So this next game is very important, and you got to win. You really have to win it.
Alex, one of the things that Brian Griese said that didn't have to do with the Nick Foles mm-hmm. and Matt Nagy conversation last night, which I know you touched on in the football after show, but one of the yep. things Griese did talk about was planning for Aaron Donald and how schematically Donald getting to Foles the way he did when he did, the best example being when he overthrew Mooney for that wide open pass, it could have been a touchdown, that mm-hmm. plan is how that worked. That it was a trench issue more than it was a him overthrowing Mooney issue. What was your impression of not only that play, but what Griese had to say about it vis-a-vis what you're talking about with Aaron Donald?
Yeah, I think that's it. The plays need X amount of time to develop. And that ball was out of Foles' hands before Mooney came out his break. And that's very hard to do. I mean, that's not even – they don't even practice doing it that way. So – that was a really, really tough play, but he got to get rid of the ball, or he's going to be getting rid of the ball as he's getting hit, which causes underthrows, and now you're looking at Ramsey running down the sideline with an interception, and everybody's wondering why they fall through the interception. So we need time if you're going to run these long plays, but what I would have liked to see, I play beside a guy in Tommy Harris, and this is as close as I can come to an Aaron Donald, but seeing him on a day-to-day basis. Tommy Harris, and I would think our defensive line was fast, and that's what we get up the field and we run. The way you neutralize that is you run draw plays and you run screen plays. I didn't see a screen play until like the third quarter. And that's what kind of bothered me, because for a team that gets up the field like the Rams did or do, why wouldn't you run more of that early on in the game? Especially to get the ball out of your quarterback hands, one, and you try to tire those guys out a little bit. If you get on a 5-6-7-8 play drive, now you want to take a shot. Now you have a 5 seconds maybe to take a shot, but you still need to give help on Aaron Donald. So I would have liked to see that into the game plan a little bit more, but hell, I'm not the offensive guru. So what do I know?
More than the offensive guru at this point. We're talking to Alex Brown, NBC Sports Chicago, for just another couple of minutes. What do we need to know about Brian Griese as a character witness? Mm-hmm. Talk to me about Brian Griese from your experience with him.
Oh, man, I didn't have much to do with Brian. He was on the team, but I ain't talked to the quarterbacks. I talked to Rex because I had a relationship with Rex. But other than that, a prior relationship, then when I got to the Bears, but I mean, you say what's up. I mean, that's it. I stuck to my side. I mean, for the defense.
Well, Olin didn't seem to like him very much, Alex, last night.
Well,
when I was
Olin,
watching your show.
Well, Olin has a better relationship with him than I did, because Olin had to snap the ball to him. So I didn't have that type of relationship with him. I don't know. I never met him for a beer. I never seen him outside of Hallis Hall. No, I didn't do any of that. So, but what, there's a line. I mean, me being in this now, being on kind of the media side, like there's a line that you can't cross when you're talking about somebody that's speaking to you in confidence. And I mean, for me, and this is just me, I haven't talked to Foles. I haven't talked to Greasy. I think he said some of it. I think some of it's true, but it was in confidence. You know, it said like in a way that you're definitely not going to get on national TV and just rat me out like this. And that's how I seen it. And I think Greasy is going to learn that you don't just, I mean, it is a relationship business, right? It's a relationship business. It's going to be very hard for him speaking to other players because everybody knows that. Everybody watched that game and everybody heard what Greasy said. And we're sitting in the green room. We all look at each other like, whoa, wait, why would Greasy say that? You know, like what? Like what happened there? Why would you throw that out? Even if it is true, why would he say it? What are you trying to do there? All you're doing is causing friction in that locker room if that's the case. You can't do it. Can't do it. So I didn't like it. I think it's crossing a line, but hey, some guys are okay with crossing that line.
Yeah, well, if you want to talk to that quarterback the next week, there you better learn the way to say that. There's a way to say it. Like, well, you know, a lot of times a guy will send in plays, and I've been there. I've been that quarterback. And you're like, man, we don't have time to do this, right? There's a way to talk about it like
right,
that.
Right.
It sure sounded like Greasy was, you know, connecting with Nick Foles in conversation and then sharing that. But, you know, quarterbacks bitch about their offensive lines or they bitch about their coaches. They probably bitch about the lines to the coaches and they bitch about the coaches to the offensive line, Alex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely see the conversation. You sit down with a former quarterback and I can see the conversation get to a point where you're relaxed and then you say something that if you had 8 microphones in your face, you probably wouldn't say it. But because you're in this type of setting, you kind of let one slip. And it's like, okay, I mean, I can say this. I mean, he's a quarterback. He understands. But you don't think he's going to go out and say it on national TV. And for that rubbed me wrong. I don't like it. I wouldn't do it. I've been in that situation where I'm doing media, I'm doing radio, and Lance is still playing, Urlach is still playing, Peanut's still playing, and I'm going to dinner with these guys, and it's like, well, we're meeting up afterwards, and we're talking, but some of that conversation, that's never to leave and come back to the media or get back on TV, and for me to say, well, I was sitting with Lance the other day, and he said this about Trestman, or he said this. No, like, that stuff just don't happen. It shouldn't happen.
What did he say about Trestman, by the way?
What are you talking about? He said he loved Trestman. What are you talking about?
Okay.
That's why I went and opened that barbecue restaurant.
No one's listening right now, Alex. Come on now. You know that.
Oh, man. No way.
Gosh, smart man.
I don't know, man. I'm excited, though. I think the team, I think they have a chance, man. They have a chance. All you have to do is get in the playoffs, and you never know what can happen. I mean, I was playing, and I saw the Giants do it 2 years in a row. Like, nobody picked the Giants to win those 2 Super Bowls, and they won it. So you just need to get in. And if this team right here is 5-2, and all the things that have gone wrong for them to get to 5-2, what if things started to click? What if, you know, if it did on offense, and now they're able to score points? They're able to put up 27 points a game, but they go on this 5-game streak where they can put up points and the defense starts to get these takeaways and scoring on defense. Then I think you got a problem for the league because I think they're extremely talented, but it's just putting it together every time. I'm down in Atlanta, but I haven't heard many people talk about the Gibson play. That play could have changed the game. And that's the one that really bothers me a lot defensively because it's 10-3 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
just before halftime, and he goes in with the thought of just getting a PBU. He just wanted to break the ball up, and I don't understand that. That ball hit him in one hand. If he catches it, he walks in the end zone. And that's the play that bothers me, because that changes the entire game, because as bad as you played, you're in a tie ball game. It's the same situation as it was with Tampa. As bad as it was, you were up 14-13, I believe it was, at halftime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.